News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, you may have heard us mention it earlier on in the show, but a co-living development at Dublin's Phibsborough Shopping Centre has been granted permission by On Board Planola. The scheme from MM Capital is the first of its kind to be approved by the board since the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, moved to ban their construction. And to discuss this further, I'm joined now by Ian Lumley, who is Antashka's Head of Advocacy. First up, Ian, do you believe this development have been permitted?
No, and Bord Pleanála had good planning reasons to refuse this development, although it was lodged when guidelines were still in place to accommodate co-housing. But these were only guidelines. They were introduced in 2018 by the Minister for Housing in the previous government, Owen Murphy. It was never envisaged that these guidelines would be supporting hundreds of standalone developments. The thought would be that you could have a larger scheme where there could be houses for families, apartments for first-time buyers, and some co-housing units. But instead, developers went into a feeding frenzy and falling over each other and driving up land values and stacking up these shoebox-type schemes for co-living. What's also happened is that, there's political blame here. It was, Taoiseach Micheál Martin back in October said in a Dáil debate that these had, I'm quoting, the potential to become glorified tenement living, and earlier had described them as something like stacking or egg crates. And the current Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, when the measure was originally introduced back in 2019, when he, 2018, he described the whole concept as bonkers. So there's a lot of, there's political responsibility here for not amending those guidelines on time. It didn't require legislation to the Dáil. A simple amendment of ministerial guidelines could have been done.
Can I ask you a very basic question? If there is a demand for this type of housing, if there are young people who may be upwardly mobile, who may be relatively well off, who are maybe living in Dublin for a year or two as part of an IT project, something like that, and they want to live in areas like this, why would it be bonkers to allow them to do so?
There's no evidence that there's a demand from this, and it's any argument.
So you expect it to lie empty once it's built?
No, that's not the case. This has been the argument saying that there is a demand for this type of accommodation has been driven by our high rental values, and that's what we really need to tackle. Construction prices, land value prices, building and rental accommodation in Dublin, ranks among the highest.
Yes, and I would agree with you. I would agree with you about that. But
in Europe, and
is it such a big deal, though?
We need to tackle
to have a variety of different types of housing in any one geographical area, including co-living. I understand what you're saying about we need a mix. But if you look at somewhere like Phibsborough, and I want to broaden it out from just Phibsborough, but if you look at somewhere like Phibsborough, there are apartments, there are family homes, and now there is a co-living. Does every development have to have, within it, that same mix? Or can you not look at a geographical area and go, well, we've ticked the three-bed semi-D demand, we've ticked the two-bed apartments, and now what we need is studio apartments or co-living or one-beds or whatever. Does every development have to have the social mix? Can you not look at pockets of the city and have a social mix based on the area itself?
Yes, clearly you need to think of different types of development in different locations. In some locations, clearly the focus should be on family-orientated larger apartments where there's good access to schools and parks. And in other cases, for starter homes or rental accommodation. But whatever place there may have been for these co-living has been completely lost by the way these developers have grasped them to drive up land values, which ultimately is going to drive up rental prices for everyone.
Okay.
This concept was also introduced before COVID. So if you look at the way the future is going, people are going to be, most people out there who are working from home are looking forward to getting back to a working environment, whether full-time, but that may be increasingly part-time, so more people may find themselves working from home in future, trapped in these shoeboxes.
Can I put this to you? This text has come in and it would be reflective of a lot of texts. It says, families do not want to live in three-bedroom apartments. I manage an apartment block in the city centre. Three-bed apartments in it are all occupied by three individuals who often don't want to live together, but there simply aren't enough one or two-bed units. The city is already very low-rise. We have enough family homes. What we don't have is accommodation for singles or couples. And all the surveys and all the studies reflect that. It is not family homes we need in the city. However much we like the sort of halcyon dream of people strolling around the city with their children, it is young people who work in the city and live in the city, and single people who work and live in the city.
We need to look at the best European cities which are able to achieve mixed neighbourhoods, including families, and to corral our families and to say that the only prospect, if you're seeking to establish a family, is to find a house miles out in the surrounding county, away from your social and family connections, with poor public transport, where you're trapped dependent on the car. That's the model that we're following, and that's not right either.
Look, no, thank you for speaking to us this morning, and points well made. That is Ian Lumley there on Tashka's Head of Advocacy.